some of these names, it does feel like, let's get the band back together. Brian Hill, Ryan Sessegnon.
Tell me about it.
It does, Lo Celso.
Where's your title challenge gone, James? I mean, fuck it up. Hello, patrons. It's Wednesday. It's Tottenham. And I've started because I can tell Serge is in a rush.
Go on then. Bore me again about how amazing Tottenham are, even though they lost the game of football.
I can't do that this time, mate.
I think, I can't remember who said it to me, but they were like, fair fucks. Like, no team should get that much praise for losing a game of football 4-1 and having two men sent off. Like, fuck.
Why are you angry about that?
I'm not angry about it. It's a fair point, though.
But why are you angry about it?
Amazing. How amazing Spurs are.
But you're being sarky about it. I can tell you're angry that Tottenham got some praise.
I'm more angry about... It's another example of media spin and narrative on stories.
I get Ange's a bit of a darling for the media at the moment.
Yeah, I get that. And then now, Poch has beaten you lot. Done well against City, and watch for the next few weeks as he turned Chelsea around to challenge the top four and shit. Because Poch is quite cool as well. So then he's going to be the media.
Poch wasn't cool when he was walking on the pitch at the end of that game, by the way.
A year ago, like Ten Hag, the saviour of Manchester United. It's all fucking...
Hold on, they're the most formed team in the league. 5 wins in 6. He's going to win manager of the month. Ange ain't going to win it this time.
6. How many clean sheets have they kept? Not many. Only one, probably.
We've just had back-to-back 1-0, so it'll be 3 or 4.
Yeah, it's probably because I sold Onana.
What's his name?
Onana.
You want to talk about West Ham first, do you?
No, I don't mind.
You beat, what's his name? The Forest chairman, what's his name? The great guy.
Mavropanos, whatever.
Mavropanos, that's your centre-back, mate. Yeah. I forget his fucking name. You just beat both his teams in 4 days, mate.
Yeah, ironic, at our place, both at London Stadium as well. He should have bribed us a little more, shouldn't he?
What are you suggesting, Serge?
Nothing.
Hold up, let's not start talking about Chelsea.
Realize,
this isn't a Chelsea podcast.
Podence had gone to, I remember from the first game, but he was right at Wolves. How come he's... I would say moving to Olympiacos is a bit of a level down.
What, to play European football? I don't know, is it?
Podence. And Premier League versus...
Probably about money. He wasn't a regular starter for Wolves anymore, was he?
No, Papadom, wasn't he?
Papadom Podence, yeah. That's Bradley Parker's saying, yeah.
This is... I mean, we'll beat Burnley. Who have we got after Burnley?
Palace.
Draw. Lose to you. Win a game after that. It's just going to be, this is it. This is the season now. The thing is, what if I said to you, we've won 3 of the last 4 games.
Have you?
Yeah.
Have you?
So it's a bit mad. It just feels weird.
But wasn't it like 4 defeats in a row before that or something like that?
Well, 3 out of 4 or something like that. Maybe it was 4 in a row. It's just, it's narrative, isn't it?
Yeah, and
so
we beat
Arsenal.
The narrative always is you're as good as your last result.
We beat Forest, and in between we lost to Brentford. So that's 3 wins out of 4.
Okay.
You know, it's one of them where I was still playing a bit shit though. But if you look back at Forest, like, some better decision making, and we could have won that 4s or 5s.
What, from Forest when they were 2-1 up? Yeah.
Nah. They didn't. They had a few chances on the counter, but overall, like, if we had taken better decisions, we could have won 4 or 5. But, you know, whatever.
I thought you'd all be really happy this week. You all got your wish.
What, for the team?
Yeah, with no Antonio.
Yeah, it's definitely better without Antonio up there. But again, I think it needs... It's like you learning to play without Kane, right? It's never going to be the same without a lump up top to whack it in to run the channels. And you've got Bowen, who's a lot more of a dribbler, link up a little bit more.
Just to clarify, Sidra's not calling Harry Kane a lump.
No. it takes a bit of time to adapt, I think. And I think it's fine. I just got to keep sticking to what we've just done and see where we go. But again, I think West Ham are like, the way I describe it is like we're an 80-85% team. We do everything 85%, you know, like we get 85% of the way to creating a good attack and then fuck up, or we'll defend fine for 85% of the time and then make a stupid mistake, or someone will do 85% of the hard work and then lose the ball or something like that. It just always feels like we don't quite do it all. Whereas it's something like pass percentage, sometimes you'll make like 4 or 5 good passes and then just for no reason, fuck it up. Whereas the better teams are like maybe 95-97% teams where they'll go all the way and do everything. And all of those little drop-offs are when we always seem to concede goals or make mistakes. Because the goal we conceded, like the first goal we scored, yeah, they made a stupid mistake. But the goal we conceded was a stupid mistake. We shouldn't be giving the ball away there to let them just get it straight behind us in the middle of the park. It was Kudus or whatever. The number of times he did that. He isn't yet up to speed on his decision-making. He divers a little bit. He's like, should I go left? Should I go right? Should I turn in, turn out? He holds on to the ball a little bit long sometimes. But I mean, that's just adapting. I don't think that's like a inherent problem.
Maxwell Cornet, but available.
Nah, he's better than...
Is Maxwell Cornet still your player?
He was on the bench for the European game.
Okay.
Yeah, he's still there. But like in the first 10 minutes, I felt like Kudus and Soufal, there were some, they would not just not pass the ball to each other, for example. It was just weird where Soufal's open, Kudus just has to cut inside or something.
What are you saying, beef?
That they started passing to each other. It's clearly not. But yeah, just that last 10-15% of decision-making always seems a little bit flaky. The second goal, I mean, that was a good move down and it's a good finish. But... again, it's a counter-attacking goal. We need to cut that out. It's just one of them, isn't it, really? I'm not like... It's stuttering along. You know when you're winning games, you're not at your best, but you've won a few games and you're doing all right. We're up to 9th, I think, in the table. If we win our next game, we could get up to like 7th or 8th. That's all right. That's fine. We just need to keep playing away. I think between now and Christmas, the biggest deal is... We beat Bakatopola and we're likely to finish top of the group as long as we get a draw out of Freiburg.
Okay, so you need 4 points.
We need 4 points because we beat Freiburg away and it's on head-to-head, not on goal difference, isn't it?
Yeah, so. That is right, by the way. Despite the fact, I noticed this on SofaScore, we're showing Freiburg above you, despite you being level on points. And I was like, what's all that about?
Yeah, it's on head-to-head.
It actually explains in the rules it's head-to-head at the end of the group stage.
Okay, so right
why
now...
Why not just fucking do that anyway?
Yeah, so 4 points, we skip the round. For me, it's like, we'll beat Bakatopola because they are. Who
shit.
Are they? Who
where are they from?
Stuff? Aren't they Romanian?
I don't know.
Yeah, sure. They're Romanian. I thought it was
should
like
should we
a
do a podcast creation. On Bakatopola?
No. ain't nobody got time for that. And then it's the Liverpool quarter final. Like I want to just get through that and the Liverpool quarter final. The league will be up at yo-yo. Win some, lose some. Win some, lose some. And we'll keep ticking along. But I want to just, get out of the group stage.
You're definitely getting out of the group stage. Sorry, it's just whether you win it and
group.
Skip the round.
So we skip around.
Yeah.
And then... if we can beat Liverpool, then it's a 2-leg semi. Then it's kind of like, okay, come on, let's go for that. Because there's still a few teams in there that are beatable. Is it Wigan?
No, Port Vale, Middlesbrough.
Port Vale, Middlesbrough. Like draw one
Chelsea
of them
play
in the semi.
Newcastle, or even if you take the winner of Fulham, Everton, wouldn't you?
Yeah, 100%. So there's
in
two,
a semi-final,
there's two
yeah.
ties there. Everton, the ones you mentioned, Fulham, Port Vale, Middlesbrough. Any of them you'd want in a 2-leg semi. So Liverpool's going to be a decent game, but they'll be thinking the same, right? You want a trophy on the board.
Yeah,
so
I'd probably just focus on Liverpool away at Anfield. Yeah, exactly. Might be your that. Biggest problem.
It's going to be a difficult game, but I want to go and have a go at that. So it's nice to be in that position, to be honest with you. I think it's fine. It's just kind of keep going, keep watching.
I have a question for you.
Exciting.
No, I think it's interesting. What do you think of James Ward-Prowse? We never actually sat here and really spoke about him and what he brings. That we know what he brings in the sense of his delivery and stuff. What does he bring? What does he bring to you during the game?
It's not just the delivery because he picks the ball up. So his ability on set pieces
immediately
dead ball
we come back to it. Dead ball
is the same as his ability in open play passing. So if he picks the ball up in the middle of the field, which he does a lot, I'm confident that he's going to complete his pass. Fuck knows what his pass completion is, but it's going to be high, right? So more often than not, he's picking the ball up in midfield and then he's spraying it left, right, or through the middle or whatever else. I would like to see him get on the ball more because I trust him to complete a pass. Whereas about Paqueta, 7 out of 10. The difference being two of those seven that he completes might be fucking world beaty passes, but he'll fuck up three times.
Ward-Prowse, 9 out of 10. He's a riskier player. James Ward-Prowse is a safe player.
He's so safe, but it doesn't mean it's boring. He's just like he's looking at it right. If James Ward-Prowse picks the ball up in the middle of the pitch and so far is free on the right, I know he's going to find him.
Let me clarify. I'm not coming here attacking James Ward-Prowse. Yeah. I'm asking you a question.
He's like a comfort blanket is probably too derogatory, but I trust him. Give him the ball, and more often than not, he'll find the right pass and he'll keep it inside. He doesn't fuck up, doesn't make too many mistakes. Who asked me the other day? Simon downstairs at work. He was saying like Ward-Prowse didn't get that England call up. I'm like, well, the problem is he's 7.5 out of 10. There are some games that he's an 8 and some games that he's a 7. He's never a 6 and he's rarely a 9. He's just a 7.5 out of 10. And that's fine for what he does. But I think when you're looking at international football, you want someone that gives you a couple of different dimensions rather than just the same thing again and again. So I understand why he doesn't get picked sometimes. What I don't understand is not picking him ahead of like a Calvin Phillips who's playing no fucking football, or Jordan Henderson who's gone off to play in another
farmer's
league.
Because he's a more dynamic partner for Declan Rice.
I get it, but they're not playing football regularly, consistently. So I don't see that he couldn't do a similar role or offer something, even what Henderson offers or whatever else. That, I feel like, if I was to pick the England squad, I'd pick him over those guys just because of recency and form. But I don't think, you couldn't say that it's a travesty that he hasn't gotten in, for example. It's just one of them things. There's a lot of good midfield players that haven't got into the squad, so it is what
Easy.
It is.
Mark Noble, but with set-piece ability.
Probably not. I think Mark Noble was more scrappy in terms of defensive work and what have you. But Mark Noble had a lot of ability on the ball. Like, he was neat and tidy and he was a good passer and he could score as well. So he was a bit of an all-round game, Mark Noble. I think Mark Noble was more defensive and scrappy.
The reason I asked that and that comparison specifically is obviously they both play for your team. And there was also obviously at times clamour for Noble, who I think probably is or was a similar player to what Ward-Prowse is now.
Well, for the England squad.
But doesn't catch the eye in the way Ward-Prowse does, because we go mad over... He is genuinely, in my opinion, the best dead ball specialist in the world.
Yeah. As a fan, though, how annoying is every time we get a free kick that what the graphic's going to be at the bottom of the fucking screen. Like, he's one below Beckham or whatever. Every time we get a free kick, it's just like... Ward-Prowse has scored this many free kicks. We're like, fucking, play a different record or something.
Yeah, okay, I know when he'll score. It'll be December the 6th.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, fair play. But it just, every screen, it's always like, free kick, Ward-Prowse. Free kick, Ward-Prowse. Let's just, say something more interesting than the same shit all the time. It's a fair comparison. Like, and there's a lot of similarities within their games. Whether or not he's good enough for England, I mean,
most of the people listening will say that he is, and I'm not saying that he's not, by the way. I just think...
Where would you play him?
I just think there's
in the current setup,
there's an interesting,
if you've got a midfield three,
there's an interesting
Rice and Bellingham are fucking tattooed on the team sheet, so there's one slot left.
England,
so what do you want?
England don't need the set-piece taker, right? We've got enough.
No. Yeah, there's plenty of good set-piece takers. Yeah.
Okay. I keep hearing people say mention penalties. He's a bad penalty taker. So that's...
I've never seen him take a penalty.
Nah, he's missed plenty for Southampton. So
what? If he's the third midfielder, what do you want from him? Do you want him to hold so that Rice can burst on? Or do you want him to get box to box? Do you want him to just pick up the ball and distribute the play and set the tempo?
There's nothing wrong with him. I'm just...
What do you want to do? Phillips, you can say, Phillips, you hold alongside Declan Rice. You can give him a job.
He doesn't. He doesn't.
Who? Phillips?
No. He doesn't just hold and sit next to him. He goes and presses and beats aggressive. But then when Declan wants to go, which you don't want to restrict, Phillips' awareness, in my opinion of that, is exceptional. And I wouldn't be comfortable with James Ward-Prowse sitting there as a lone pivot. No,
I wouldn't
in
play him as a
stages.
Defensive. Right, but it's not point, yeah, but people, CDM or whatever. People want him, FIFA people.
People want him to play alongside Rice. And I get that, right? It's a very fair argument. The point I'm making is, if he didn't have the attributes that he does, i.e. the set piece stuff, would we think of him as highly as we do? That's it. I'm not calling him a bad player or anything like that. I mean, he's a great player. I think he's a brilliant signing for you. I think he complements Alvarez really well. Like, it's not a criticism. It's just interesting that it catches the eye, I think. When you have weekends like that where he's assisted two goals, I mean,
that's nine assists this season so far.
Yeah, it's great.
Like, fucking on that run rate, he'd hit 25, 30 assists in a season.
How many of them
mental.
How many of them in open play?
I couldn't tell you. And
the
probably
team,
only two,
the team
probably three.
Has a creativity issue. Fair? You're quite reliant on what it is at the moment on Pakatar opening a door, I think.
Oh, Ben Rama's there.
Doesn't
Bowen's
start
there.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Bowen's now through the
depends
middle.
Depends what do you define as a creativity issue? Because you had periods where you just didn't even have a creative player.
Yeah, don't tell me about it.
But we have creative players. Yeah. I just think they're not sometimes creating effectively. Yeah. So that's a difference. Paqueta can create. He had a number of opportunities at the weekend to open shit up and just kind of, you know, you said he plays like he's being watched on TV. I think he plays all his games like that. Even Ben Rama, right? Sometimes he's almost a bit of a flat track bully, but some games when he's cutting in on his right, he can do a lot of damage around the left. Bowen's dribbling, like his close control, Bowen's with the ball at his feet is up there as you got Mitoma or a few others that are amazing dribblers. But he's, when he gets out of tight corners, we have that ability there. Kudus now as well. I don't think there's a creativity issue. I think there's just a gelling issue where when it clicks, it will click. Like someone's going to get a slapping one day soon. Could even be Burnley, right? But it won't come from like us dominating the game with passages of play. We'll fuck them up 3-4 times on the counter and a couple of set piece goals or something like that. It'll be just patchy. We could beat someone 4 or 5-0 with less than 40% possession. Like if we had 40-45% against Burnley,
they'll probably have more of the ball than you.
We could still win that game 4 or 5-0 because we could be clinical in front of goal and it works well. So,
yep.
And Socek, this is the funny thing, like first 20 minutes, 25 minutes against Forest, I had to remind myself that he was fucking playing. He didn't really do anything, but he
could have got hat trick.
This is the guy, right? He's another example. You're like, what is he? He's not like a world beater. He's
exactly what we said a couple of weeks ago. Get him in the penalty boxes and ignore him in between. Ruben Neves opposite.
Completely. And he's justifying his place in the team at the moment. Like I would put, he's in our first choice 11. He's justifying his place in the team. And when he wants to get forward and be a second striker and cause chaos with whatever he does, it can be quite effective. But again, he's like clubs like us, if we get players like Paqueta or Declan Rice, Bowen, you'd maybe say, eventually someone bigger who's playing Champions League football is going to come call him.
Bowen's staying forever.
So he said. But I'm saying he's on the fringes, right? Where the money's right, he could go. But then there's a group of players that are not good enough, but they're really good. Like Ward-Prowse, I'd say, but like Ben Rama's of the world or whatever. Even Zuma, he was at Chelsea, but he wasn't quite there. But he's probably, I wouldn't say too good for us, but he's at the top end of what we can get without being
the problem
poached.
With him is you never get 38 games out of him.
Yeah, but they're at the top of what we can get without fear of them being poached. And that's the kind of level of players that we want. Like Paqueta's going to go, right? Before long, Paqueta's going to go.
No one's going to buy him. Why this booking shit's hanging over his head, mate?
Why is his shit hanging? Like, Tonali, how long was Tonali's investigation going on prior to Newcastle?
I've no idea.
Because it's just come in swift and there's been a decision and a ban.
Yeah, well, the Italians don't fuck about, mate.
And Paqueta, I don't even know what's happening with his shit.
Quiet, isn't it? None of this is a criticism of West Ham or James Ward-Prowse.
No, don't
get
me wrong. Like,
because you've got to know your place. When you come to our place in a couple of weeks, I think we'll look at the two teams and go, well, it's not a lot in it.
And, on paper.
And to go back to the creativity
on paper
that we spoke about with your team.
You won't have Mathers, will you?
Well, exactly. We won't have any either. So
yeah.
We'll have similar problems.
I think it's going to be low on quality, high on entertainment. That's how I would describe it.
That game is miles from my thinking. Other than that, Romero's back. Like for that game.
I think it's going to be low on quality, high on entertainment. There's going to be like all sorts of shit going on here, there, everywhere, chances, but it's going to be one of them where like just one tackle and everyone's up in arms or one chance or whatever. But it's midweek, isn't it?
It's Thursday night, yeah.
The 2nd? 6th?
6th.
Thursday the 6th.
Told you, when James Ward-Prowse equals Beckham's record. Anyway.
18 goals. Yeah.
You okay.
But nine assists is no joke in 15 games or whatever it's been for James Ward-Prowse. And again, it's because he's got the what's the word I'm looking for? The weapons. He's got the people to aim at. He's got the shit that can finish it off, like fucking 5'10" Jarrod Bowen or 5'8" Jarrod Bowen to keep heading in goals. Yeah. Yeah, if we didn't have him though, fuck, our season would be shit.
What, Bowen?
Yeah.
Keep him fit. That'd be handy. Spurs.
I was going to say something much ruder. We have female patrons as well.
We've had enough of this West Ham shit now. Yeah. We lost this weekend.
But I'm going to say keep him shagging.
Keep on shagging, Jarrod. Yeah.
Any offence caused.
Oh, shut up. bad performance from us at the weekend. Wolves were deserving winners. The defeat at the end and the manner of it felt easier to deal with, one, because it was deserved, and two, because I'd experienced the opposite with the Sheffield United game, right? Which was even more mad, yeah, right? Yeah. Like, our equaliser against Sheffield United was later than Wolves' winner against us, for example, in terms of minutes on the clock. So Wolves deserved it. Played well. As I said on Monday, the thing that frustrated me really the most was the off the ball setup and Son not having a partner when we were without possession.
And that would be the central of the three in behind linking up with him. Like Madison. Yeah, so Madison as opposed to someone coming in off the flanks.
So when you're defending, they go to like a 4-4-2. The two wide forwards drop in to join in with, and Saar would drop in with Bissouma. So Kulusevski and S.A. Johnson for this one drop in deeper. Madison joins Son at the front, and it's a 4-4-2.
To allow you to break?
It's just the first line of press. You're pressing with two to put the pressure on the centre backs. And if it goes to one side, obviously the wide player and the full back will come in together and stuff. It's a structured press, right? So, but we couldn't do that Saturday. And why? I think because of what he picked in personnel. For me, Ange made a fuck-up with the selection. And as I said briefly on Monday, I think he rewarded Højbjerg for Højbjerg's, let's say, valiant performance when he came on against Chelsea.
Højbjerg, right? Saar and Bissouma.
Yes, dry on it.
Yeah.
No, it is. It is. I mean, you've gone from Madison to Højbjerg is what you've done there. Yeah. Not only that, to counter it, rather than play Højbjerg as... instead of Madison, he's basically played Højbjerg instead of Saar, and he's played Saar instead of Madison. So Saar was the one being asked to play as the left-sided. So it wasn't, Saar didn't play as a 10, right? They played more of a 4-4-3-3 with and without the ball. And Saar had moved to the left, and he was just so counterproductive in the sense that the way round it was, quite honestly for me, was like, the back line is a problem. We got to deal with it as best as... But in terms of offensively, it was just replace Madison. That was the only thing to change.
Play Lo Celso.
Absolutely. But moving Saar...
Lo Celso is a presser? He's not a presser, is he?
Yeah, he can do. Yeah, I think he works hard. Like, the problem that Lo Celso would have is you're going to get a natural comparison to Madison, right? Lo Celso is more like a James Ward-Prowse type player in the sense of his short stuff and, you know, links. He's obviously not a set-piece taker like JWP. But Madison is quite wild in terms of his range of creativity. Like he'll try spontaneous channels. Shit, right? He's not one of these who's worried about his pass completion or anything like that. Lo Celso will tick over with like 80%-ish pass completion. James Madison will have high volatility based on how deep he drops or how high he stays, because he will try the mad pass that most of us can't see, right? Lo Celso won't. But at least he would have given us a link where Sonny had something with him that was close, in close proximity to him. The bigger one as well was moving Saar, Because the right-hand side of the pitch, that relationship with Porro and how Sarr drops into right back and then Porro moves into midfield with them and linking with Kulusevski, like you'd taken Sarr out of that. So Højbjerg weren't going to go dropping into the right back position to let Porro. So you restricted Porro. You took Sarr out of his best position. So that link on the right-hand side was gone as well. So for me, it was like we'd added an additional layer of changes needing to be made because perhaps Sarr's played well enough that no one's sitting there going, you've got to get Bentancur in the team really quickly. Like, you don't. Sarr's been really good. And Sarr played fine in the game at the weekend as well. But it certainly wasn't to his benefit having that responsibility. And then all of a sudden, where he would be linking with Kulusevski and Porro, he's now linking with Emerson Royal from left back, and that's obviously not his position, and then Brennan Johnson in front, who's basically just breaking into the team now. And he's absolutely miles, by the way, off of acceptable standard.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I had to shout, because obviously I was right near the front. Like, dig in, Brennan, at one point. Like, this kid was blowing hard early in the second half. I'm not saying he didn't work hard or anything like that. And what he gives you is what I've been asking Kulusevski. Like, when the ball's on the other side, can you get into the six-yard box and tap one of these in? Which he does, right? So there's not a question to say don't play Brennan Johnson at the moment. Fuck me. He has to play at the moment, doesn't he? There's no Richarlison. There's no Perisic. There's no Sessegnon. There's no Solomon. And
Maddison, obviously.
And no Maddison, obviously. He should be back probably 3 weeks or so. If he's not been jettisoned out of the country for his Instagram posts, I don't know. It's another pod for another day. No, he shouldn't be too far away, but he's not fit. I mean, to be honest, I feel like a fraud putting Ryan Sessegnon in that list because I forgot he's existed.
He's one of them, isn't he?
But Perisic should...
Pre-Sessegnon. What about Jed Spence as well?
Perisic had been really contributing at the start of the season. Off the bench a bit, but yeah. Has now proved... Yeah, but now you've got to go to Saturday and you've got to bring in fucking Brian Hill. Jesus Christ, Dawson took one look at him and went, let me get near him.
Yeah. That, you know what? Some of these names, it does feel like, let's get the band back together. Brian Hill, Ryan Sessegnon.
Tell me about it.
It does, Lo Celso.
Where's your title challenge gone, James? I mean, fuck it up.
Wait, that's a fucking bad cover band.
In wrestling, right, back in the day, you used to have what they'd call these squash matches, which you'd have like some proper skinny ringer like come in and they'd face like this giant wrestler. Yeah. And basically it would just be the big guy throwing him around for 3 minutes, showing off his moves and stuff. That's how I feel when Hill gets on the pitch. He's like the guy who's part of someone else's act who's just going to get bullied to fuck. And to be fair to him, he's had his own injury that he's just come back from. He is never, ever, ever going to be strong enough to play in this league.
Yeah, send him back to Spain.
But he is the only solution to... The wide areas, all these players, Solomon, Perisic, Sessegnon, could all play in a wide position, right? It's also the one area of the youth teams at the moment that there isn't really anything in the wide forward areas. You'd say, oh, I'd trust it to maybe come into the squad. Like Jamie Donnelly, who's basically Maddison's position, was in the squad at the weekend. And by the way, that would be better than playing that midfield three again. I'd rather, if Ange took the view and went, fuck it, I'm going to sell Lo Celso in January. I don't want to play him. Please play Jamie Donnelly. Just get on with it. Like, I feel like every Tottenham fan, not every, but a lot of Tottenham fans over the last 9 days or however long it's been since the Chelsea game seem to have forgotten what we kept screaming. Was like, you know, we're enjoying ourselves where we are, but we know that these results don't really matter. This is the start of something. But because we did so well, it's now like, oh my God, results. And oh, we might lose to Villa and we might lose to City. Let me tell you right now, those two things will, well, certainly the second thing will definitely happen. But the first thing might happen as well. And we just need to forget about it.
It's funny how people cling to the youth or go to the, like even for West Ham, it's like, fuck it, just play like Mbama up top. Oh, Antonio, shit, he's not going to play. Ings is too old. But go to Mbama. So you're clinging on to Donnelly. I'm not saying clinging on.
No, I'm not saying, I would play Lo Celso. All I'm saying by that perspective is if Ange is thinking, if we're on a long-term vision, right? Everything feels short-term. But the point is exactly that.
So they say cut once, cut deep.
A lot of the comments, and this was inevitable, it was going to happen. In the same way I told you, people, you know, as soon as Tottenham lose a couple of games, people would be saying Ange is naive and all that. I warned you that stuff back in August.
True.
So, but point being is like people saying, oh, we shouldn't have sold Davinson Sanchez. Stop. Davinson Sanchez never going to be first choice for Tottenham. They got an acceptable offer for him. They knew what they were getting themselves into in terms of they were leaving them sort of short. Get it moved, get it on, and start forward fucking thinking.
Yep.
And have people like, do you know what? Even if they ain't ready, Ashley Phillips on the bench, Alfie Dorrington on the bench as they were at the weekend. This is the future of the football club. Start getting them fucking integrated rather than blocking their path. But because...
Yeah, but they'll block the path.
And I get it, right? We lost Romero and Van de Ven at the same time, right? It was a bit mad unlucky, okay? And so then it looks really bare. By the way, the two we played centre-back on Saturday... And to be honest, you can certainly have a debate about Dyer on both goals. But Dyer played fine, by the way. And Ben Davis actually played pretty well. Do I ever want to see the two of them together again? Like, no. It's almost like if one of them's got to play, that's okay.
It's like Man United, right?
Both of them, though.
Evans and Maguire. Do I want to see that? Like, they kept a clean sheet and they've probably done all right at the weekend, Evans and Maguire or whoever, whatever. But... yeah, you don't want to see it. It doesn't fill you with any joy.
I don't think
you don't want to hate on it.
I think Man United fans didn't want to see it because they've got Raphael Varane sitting on the bench. Yeah, yeah. For me, I've got two 18-year-old centre-backs sitting on the bench. Yeah. So, Tottenham need to find solutions, but I also think Tottenham fans need to remember where the club is going and just almost accept that, like, the way we started the season was an anomaly, really. Like, there was some fortuitous in there, the late Sheffield United, the first half against Manchester United, even the kind of the 1-0 grim win at Luton, for example. The 1-0 grim win at Luton could have easily been a 1-0 grim win on Saturday, right, at Wolves. This time it didn't go our way. But we need to remember that this is longer term. This, where Tottenham finished this season, it's not changed. It's irrelevant. Ange has already won this season in terms of trying to change the style. Now, because of personnel, we're probably going to have a couple of really difficult months because there isn't anything from the offensive that can replace Maddison. But this is almost like going back to the whole Harry Kane thing where people say, oh, Tottenham need a backup forward for Harry Kane, when it was more like, no, we need another Son, right? Because Son can not do the same as Harry, but can play that position. Now it's almost like that. Like, what's Tottenham's solution to Maddison? So you've got a profile player there, and Lo Celso is sitting there, but he's obviously also had his own injury problems, and that might be why he didn't start. But I think Ange would probably regret it, and I think surely he plays against Villa because Bissouma's suspended. So what's he going to do? Is he going to be Højbjerg, Sarr, and Bentancur instead? Bentancur's not ready yet. It's clear. There's little things you can tell in him where just even over like 2 yards, like his reactions are just a bit slower. He needs to build that up. And going against Villa's midfield is not going to be the way to do it. So I think Højbjerg will play the Bissouma role. And I think Lo Celso will come into the team. Alternatives that he could do, which a few people are asking for, is put Kulusevski in that position, which I'm not a big fan of, personally.
Yeah, me neither.
Because I like him as a player. The one thing that Deki will offer you, like, he's strong, right? So you, as a 10, you could offer it into him. He could take a bit of the pressure off of Son, like, can feed it into Deki and he's strong and stuff. But I don't necessarily see him as, like, this guy who's going to feed the passes to Son, for example. And then if you move him in there, so what's your solution out wide? Right, well, so it's back to fucking Brian Hill. And I'm sorry, that's just never going to be the solution for me. This is where I mentioned on the SkyPod earlier, he could play Porro there because obviously if Udogie's back, and by the way, he's been pulled out of the Italy squad, but we think he's fine. Then you could put Udogie to left back. You can move Emerson to right back. You could push Porro into that offensive role, which, and I know there's been quite a bit of talk of don't put Porro that high because you're losing what he offers coming from right back into midfield. Well, he couldn't do it in the same way because Højbjerg wasn't able to rotate the position with him as well as perhaps Sarr's been doing. So we'd kind of lost him anyway. Now, presumably we'll get Sarr and Porro back together. So that might negate that against Villa, for example. But if you look at the team Tottenham will probably play against Villa, it's difficult to foresee we'd get anything, to be honest. Because they're a very, very good football team.
Yeah, I think you'll lose.
And it's not like you can say, oh, well, they lost to Forest. Well, we won't play against Villa like Forest played against Villa. And by the way, I don't want us to, right? We're at home in a big game. I want us to go and try and play our stuff and try and dominate and try and dictate the play. And that's probably going to be really difficult with Maddison. Maddison and Romero missing is mad. Like, I can't explain enough how important that, how Romero just can absorb and stay patient and play the pass at the right time. Whereas Dyer's fine in terms of his distribution. Actually, his long-range distribution might be quite useful against Villa. What I'd do, actually, is it would be controversial, but I'd probably leave Davis out and I'd probably play Emerson at centre-back, personally. Just as a little bit better recovery. And I do, for all his limitations, I do trust Emerson defensively. And I just think Watkins could fucking anti-RP. Could both do them a mad one. I mean, to be honest, Wolves didn't have too much threat centrally in terms of runners, but that's obviously where the two goals have come from, right? Balls in, running in behind through central areas. But for the majority of the game, it was dealt with okay. So it's a bit of a mess, but I do also want everyone to calm down and realise it's a long process and not being... I listened to another podcast, the Tottenham podcast this morning, and they were talking about what we need to do to like finish fourth and fifth and stuff. And don't get me wrong, I'd love to do it, but right now it's just about get behind the team and let it be what it will be and understand it's a longer term process. And the only reason it's a conversation anyway is because the start was so fucking... mad good. Charlie Eccleshire, who writes for The Athletic, summed it up amazingly well. Did you hear what I'd said?
No.
That he'd said?
No.
He said the team that finished the game at Wolves felt like a relic of previous managers. When you think about it, right, in terms of where Ange will want to go to with this team, if for a second I could foresee Tottenham playing in the Champions League next season, who from that team would maybe be in it this time next year?
Porro.
Son. Kulusevski, maybe.
Porro.
Porro. Bentancur. Bissouma had gone off.
Okay.
Bentancur, maybe. And the goalkeeper. So now it's gone back to, well, you need to replace more than half the team. And remember, these are the squad players, right? So the depth, this is what we always spoke about. If Tottenham had injuries, like, forget it, right? And it's... that's where it's at. We've got our problems. Other teams have got their problems. We've got three really difficult home games coming up. Villa, yourselves, and then Newcastle. But that is free.
City away in free, between.
Yeah, but City away is almost irrelevant, isn't it?
Free hit.
Whatever. So you know what? It's go up there, play your football. And do you know what? In a weird way, if Rodri did get booked against Liverpool and missed the game against us, we'll probably give him some problems. I am really disappointed about that, actually. The City game almost as much as anything. Because I had been saying for a couple of weeks, we will give them some fucking problems up there. And you can't foresee it now. Matt Dyer and Davis against Haaland. I'm fucking hell, mate. So, yeah, I would go Emerson centre-back. And Lo Celso's got to come into the team, even as a link. And I know a lot of people think you aren't good enough. But I think also it's almost like people have forgotten Lo Celso was good in pre-season. Mm. Like, he was arguably our best performer in pre-season. Then he got his chance in the Carabao at Fulham, had a bad 45 minutes and went off, and we thought it was because it was so bad. But he obviously picked up an injury that kept him out for a number of weeks. Maybe he played that whole half injured, I don't know. And then he also came on really late in the league game against Fulham, didn't play well. But when he came on Saturday, despite the fact the results swung away from us, and you can argue he's partly at fault on the winning goal as well, like, the football we played was much better. It actually gone from the point, it got to about, from when he came on to the equaliser, the game had actually gone for a period we thought, well, we're winning this now. Like, it had gone from problematic to comfortable again, and then we just got hit, and deservedly so that we got hit. But yeah, for me, he's got to come in the team and give him a chance to try and grab the shirt over the next month or so. Mickey van der Ven, Paul O'Keefe has said it's grade 2 hamstring, verging on grade 3. If that's the case, he might be back for Christmas. So it might not be quite as bad as feared. The other thing that's quite hilarious about this is he's obviously targeting, we were told, early January. Same for Maddison. These guys are going to come back, and then Bissouma, Sarr and Son all fuck off for their international tournaments. So the club has to do a little bit of business in the January transfer window, but I only want them to do business that's for the long-term benefit of the team rather than a Manchester United plugging hole problem.
Lost.
Like, let's not plug the hole. If the hole is that fucking bad, let's play what we've got and realise we're on a longer-term journey. Yeah?
Interesting. Next week, what are you going to do? Tottenham Arse?
Yes.
Tot and arse. Talk to that fucking gooner about whatever he wants to talk about.
Yeah. We'll talk about them.
Cool. And I'll be back after we've played Burnley for Tottenham anyway. I'll be back before then, before other stuff. But after Burnley, so we'll see where we're at. Stay safe. Look after yourselves. Ciao for now.
Thanks, patrons. Can you Spurs? Cue music, please, man child.
Fantasy Football Show.